They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Cafeteria Nation, to a day that we've been looking forward to and dreading at the same time. We are going to eat.
I think my internal dread is I'm probably going to like these, and then I'm just going to be like, ugh, now I want to order chicken feet.
So we haven't done a Cafeteria 51 for a while, but we are back, and we are going abroad. I guess we did have some Australian delicacies earlier, mm-hmm. but we're trying to...
I would say this is Asian week.
Yes,
Next week will be Asian, or next episode will be Asian
Asian-ish
week as well
in more of a seafood capacity, but... So Brett, I think we're definitely keeping with the theme on Cafeteria 51 of oddities. You know, we're not going to sit here and both eat Cheetos and go, oh wow, they're crunchy and cheesy. You know, that'd be a little boring.
That's fancy.
But the one piece of progress we have definitively made is we have gotten out of the canned meats division.
yeah, we got out of the canned meats, and I went into prepping a food where you have to remove the fingernails off of the end of it. So that was fun.
You know, Stacy was asking me, she's like, why the fuck would you do chicken feet? And I said, well, it was my idea. And here was my premise. How bad can they be? Because if you look at any standard dim sum menu, which I love dim sum. Dim sum is like my favorite. Like, you get a good dim sum cart.
That's interesting, because I made like a poor man's, because I didn't have all the ingredients, dim sum style, so it'd have some taste.
There you go.
And what, boiled chicken feet?
Yeah, I wasn't, or pickled or any, yeah. So I love everything else about dim sum, even like the weird dumplings. I'm in for, you know, mm-hmm. And the various like tofu things and bean curd cakes. And I mean, of course, some are favorites and some are less than favorites, but I like it all. And the one thing that's always part of a traditional dim sum setup that I always pass on is chicken feet. So this one was my suggestion, and you were gracious enough to say yes.
I got to tell you, dude. So we flipped the switch on this one. Usually, I'm the guy that's going and like just pulling out of the can and eating it or not doing the setup, and you're the one doing this stuff. I actually went out, bought, prepped and cooked my chicken feet, and I ordered them.
Yeah, we went.
So we flipped the script.
We did flip the script. Mine are from a local Chinese restaurant called China Chef that has a full dim sum menu.
Interestingly enough, that is the only place around us that has it. They deliver to me. It takes 70 minutes, and it's a $9 upcharge because you are like an hour away, and they'll still fucking deliver to me.
Oh wow,
fucking crazy! Is that?
No, wait, you're saying the. The China Chef by
the
me?
Glenview or wherever it was the only, the closest place was over by you.
Oh, that's crazy. So I also learned through this endeavor that Grubhub and DoorDash and the various apps are not great at searching for specific items.
You want chicken feet? Popeyes, KFC.
Yeah. It'll suggest stuff like that. And then the actual places that have it don't come up. Like I had to do a Google search to find China Chef. And they are, it was available in Grubhub. Anyway,
I guarantee you Yelp has that reviewed 10 best chicken restaurants,
chicken feet restaurants
near me. Like everything you would need to go on Yelp, they always
there.
Have that.
Yeah. All right. So Brent, do you, why don't you tell us about how you prepared it? Because I have no experience in preparing it.
All right. So I bought a whole bunch of claws.
They were just raw chicken feet.
It's just raw chicken feet. It was they come in. That was like the smallest batch you could get. There's like 30 of them in there. I don't know. It's a lot. And I cleaned all of them, and I detaloned all of them. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm only going to eat like one of these. I cooked six of them. Lisa will probably have five when she gets home later. Just so she can try it. But yeah, so you soak them and you clean them. You got to clean them because they can, I rubbed a little vinegar on them and soaked them and rinsed and rinsed and rinsed, and then I let them sit in cold water.
I'm assuming that's supposed to get rid of like gaminess or weirdness.
I guess, and just dirt and stuff like that. I don't know. It's not like, you know, a stomach where you got to like cook out all the bacteria and stuff. So I don't know. Then I did boil them for 10 minutes just to, you know, start the process. Then I drained them. I put them back in, and I added some, I'm terrible at remembering the recipe, garlic and onion and some rice wine and some soy sauce and a couple other things. And I let them simmer for like, they simmered in that for 25 minutes.
Got it.
And then after they're done simmering, you take the lid off, you turn it up high, and you thicken up the sauce. And and one beer, one can of beer.
Oh, in the chicken. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was in my dim sum junk. And and then you thicken it up, and I didn't pour all the sauce on there. And I skipped most of the sugar because I'm not big into sugary things.
Yeah.
Which it calls for. So I wouldn't exactly call this dim sum, but it's better than unseasoned chicken feet, I'm sure. I'm guessing.
I have to agree with that. That has to be true. According to Wikipedia, chicken feet are cooked and eaten in many countries. After an outer layer of hard skin is removed, that sounds like what you did, most of the edible tissue on the feet consists of skin and tendons with no muscle. This gives the feet a distinct texture different from the rest of chicken meat. Being mostly skin, chicken feet are very gelatinous, which is...
Yeah, not only gelatinous, they almost like... They're kind of gross. Like, they'll stick to the bottom and like pull apart if you're not careful when you're cooking them.
It's also not a word that I'm a fan of in describing any of my foods, unless that food
is so moist and gelatinous.
Unless that food is literally Jell-O. I don't love. Actually, there's one other way I like my food gelatinous. I don't eat it this way, but if you make really, really good soup from scratch, once it you put it in the fridge, It takes on the consistency of Jell-O, because that's what gelatin's made from. It's made from, yeah, you know, the inside of bones. And so really good, like, homemade soup, you know, it gets all thick, not because of fat in it, but because of the gelatin from the bones. So that's okay. But then once you are actually eating it, it's warmed up and it's nice and savory and not thick. Okay. I've talked myself almost out of this. So let's
try one of these motherfuckers.
All right.
Because they look like... I sautéed toddler paws.
Do you have any idea? You're not supposed to try to crunch through the bones, are you? You just eat around them, right?
If you are, I'm going to skip that delicacy, and I'm just going... Well, some of the bones, like in the... What would be the wrist, are big-ass bones, man.
Yeah, they are. You're right.
And the paw...
The paw.
The palm is a meaty chunk part, so...
So I'm...
All right, without ado, I'm eating mine right now. Let's try one of these. All right, here we go.
Yeah, the bones don't... That you couldn't even crunch through them, I don't think.
It tastes like chicken skin. That's exactly what it tastes like.
With fat.
I probably went high on I went too heavy on the soy sauce. It's very soy sauce salty.
Right, I did a...
It tastes very fatty, you're right.
I did a finger. I'm going to try the whatever you're
saying. Oh, I did the pad now. The back side of it, trying to get to the pad.
I'm trying that. So the pad is good. Like that, like...
I'm trying to get to it, and it's scratching my face.
I think the only reason I'm saying it's good is because I got a bite or two of actual what felt like chicken meat versus skin and
really
tendon.
Really, it tastes like a shitty chicken wing.
Yeah, it does. You're right. That's exactly what it tastes like. You know what it tastes like? Like, if you ordered Korean-style or Asian-style wings... And they made the full wing, which includes that little part that has no meat on it hardly. That little like pointy part. Only that part, instead of being all crispy and just skin, has some gelatinous fat under it. That is exactly how I would describe this.
It's good. The reason they don't serve this is it's incredibly hard to eat. It's not worth the time. And unless you are trying to get every piece of the, you know, if you're starving and you eat all the piece of it, why would you eat it?
Right.
You know, it's very little meat on this. I got less meat off of... Now, I took one of the smaller ones. You get, like, what you would get off of, like, a small... Not the drumstick part of a wing.
Oh, the two-piece? The flat?
Maybe even less meat than you get on one of those.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And it's not meat. It's not... That's the problem. It's not meat you're getting. You're getting...
Yeah, I'm calling it meat. It's tendon and fat tendon, and skin. Yeah.
I... Listen, I am not offended by it. Like, if somebody thought they were playing a joke on me and threw these in front of me at, you know, in some future world where we have buffets again, I'd be like, okay, no problem. You want to pay me $5 to eat that? Sure, let's do it. I like
the dim sum is very sticky too.
Yep, but, mine is. It's mine like are that. Too, because mine are.
They're hard to eat, is what I'm getting at. Like, I haven't figured out a way to not like look like a child trying to figure out how to eat it first.
This particular restaurant did them, I think, similarly to how you prepared yours. It's just an Asian flavor, almost kind of like a, I don't know, a garlic sauce. You know, those kind of dark garlic sauces. It kind of looks like the color is like General Tso's.
There's a lot of cartilage on them too.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're biting into it.
I'm done. I'm not offended by it, but I'm not eating it anymore.
Yeah. I was hoping that I would like it more. It's not that I don't like it. It's too hard to eat.
It's too hard to eat. And the,
I guess you would just crunch it. I guess you'd have to be
there. Like, you know, crab legs or even small, like snow crab legs, like the ones that you actually get on a free buffet are hard to eat. And there's not a ton of reward at the end because they're so small, but at least if you do enough of them, you get like a nice unctuous bite of like really good crab meat.
I love unctuous crab.
There is no payoff here.
No. Well, I got to tell you, I got to think you're right. If you like cartilage and stuff, if you're one of those people that bites into it, if you eat that kind of stuff and bone and all, like there are people that do that.
But yeah. Like when you eat wings, if you're one of those people that bites the head off of the drumstick.
Yeah. If you like that cartilage part, you would love this because that's all
that's all this is.
The fingers. I hate calling them fingers, but that's what the fingers are. Right. This one gets a thumbs down for it gets a thumbs in the middle for taste. Yeah, it gets a huge thumb down. It gets a huge thumbs down for me for just being incredibly difficult to eat. And I don't want to eat the bones and stuff because I don't like that taste. And if you're supposed to do that, I don't know. People are probably rolling their eyes going like, you're not supposed to. Well, then I don't understand why you'd want to eat it.
Yeah,
but that's kind of how a lot of people are about chicken wings anyway, because they don't understand it. And I love chicken wings. So, hey.
Man, we've talked about chicken wings enough. I literally want to make them for dinner now. Like, all this has done is made me hungry for chicken wings.
I know I can make a decent dim sum, and I just need to cut back a little on the soy sauce.
you accidentally discovered the perfect way to make Asian wings, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Except for the only beer I had was leftover Busch Light from my buddy who left it here. I might use different beer next time.
So, by the way,
because my house now smells like, you know, a college,
like college
fraternity. Yeah.
So, side note, I made chicken wings for the Super Bowl, and they were the best wings I've ever made. They are better. They were better than wings I've fried before, and they weren't fried. They were baked, Brent. And
now, no breading anything. No, just naked wings.
I bought wing sections, you know, just like you buy at the store, and I always try to get fresh or fresh frozen, not the bags that you get, like from Tyson, because I don't buy the cheap stuff thing. This is it's real simple. The cost per pound isn't actually all that different, but those pre-portioned sections that have been frozen since they left, you know, since they died. If you read the bags, it'll be like 13% solution, 10% solution. And whenever there's that much water in them, when you cook them, they dry out and just turn into one piece of skin. There's like no meat to them.
Right.
So you need wings that are. It's the same way when you like get frozen turkeys, like for Thanksgiving. Frozen turkey's fine. Just let it thaw. Just don't get the kind that's 11 or 8% solution. Get the kind that are 3% solution. So anyway, I just got normal wings that just aren't too high in the solution. And thawed them out and tossed them with, I kid you not, I think it was a half teaspoon or a full teaspoon of baking powder and salt. That's it. And first you bake them at 225 for like 45 minutes or an hour. And then you crank that fucker up to like 450 for...
And they sear it real quick.
And for like another 45 minutes.
Oh, for a while, okay.
And you just, you know, kind
of. Oh, I was thinking like putting them in the, like browning them in the broiler.
Oh, okay. No. This is actually baking them. So, I mean, in total, you're talking about not 2 hours of cook time, but not an hour either. Like between an hour and two, like an hour and a half probably. But man, and then you just toss them in whatever sauce, or if you like the dry rubs, toss it, you know. Note to self, if you've ever made wings before or you want to make wings and you bought some sort of good rub, like some sort of good sugar-based, like a barbecue rub or one of the rubs from Buffalo Wild Wings, don't actually bake them in the rub because that stuff's going to burn. And that stuff's right. not meant to be cooked. So you got to toss them in that afterwards. But anyway, I tossed them, Brent, and I got the best wings I've ever had. They crisped up so nicely.
That sounds good.
They were really in the. Who knew baking?
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Powder.
I like wings that are naked like that, and I like wings that are also breaded. And I will have a taste for one or the other, but I do not want the other one when I have a taste for it. You know what I mean? I'm so weird like that.
I'm just like you. Only like 90% of the time, I want the non-breaded ones. It's very rare that I get in the mood for the breaded.
I mostly go towards those. About once every couple years, Lisa or I will be like, "Do you want to go get like some terrible like wings or something?" And we'll go to like Hooters or something.
Oh,
get
Hooters has really good breaded wings. Yeah,
they're overpriced, but decent breaded wings. You know, and we haven't done that well. Of course, we haven't done it in like a year. But
how is Hooters takeout business doing? I wonder.
There is a Hoots by us. It's called Hoots. It's Hooters just with, like, it's takeout.
Really?
I'm like, how is that a fucking business?
Wow.
Hi, I'm Hank. I work the counter at Hoots. Sorry, I'm not a Hooters girl, but here's your $13 chicken sandwich. No fries. That's extra.
So are these, is it a Hooters like building that they just rebranded, or like you're saying,
no,
like
it's
these
its
are
own
pop-ups?
Standalone is all I know. All I know it's there. It's the town over from us. And I always, whenever I look up chicken or something online, it always comes up. Would you like Hoots?
Oh, interesting.
You know, like you ever heard of like a insert whatever restaurant express?
Yeah. I feel like it's like that. Of course. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
They only got like one big boobed girl at the counter or something.
I didn't know if they were trying to like give you the Hooters experience with takeout, like a girl in the Hooters outfit brings your food and waves at you,
right?
You know, I mean, please listen, whether you agree or disagree with it, part of their marketing is scantily clad women with breasts. Like that's what their thing is. Now, you might be on the side that's sexist and that it shouldn't exist. That's fine. And you might, but regardless, that is their play. You know, they're not called Hooters just because of owls.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if they're trying to go with the theme or not, but it doesn't sound like it.
Well, that's why John and I are working on our new restaurant, TGI Cock and Stuffs. And
we wear a banana hammock to the car.
But only John and I.
Literally, one of the two of us will serve every fucking meal.
Welcome to TGI Cock and Stuffs. I'm Brent. What do you want?
Don't worry, the counters aren't very low. All right, so you mentioned breaded wings. There's a place in the city. So both Brent and I live, you know, 10, 15 miles outside of the Lower Fourth. Not 10 miles. Probably. Anyway, 5 miles. I don't know.
I live 1 mile. I'm way too close, but yeah.
we're not in the city proper is the point.
If you hear me, I did put one more bite in my mouth. Sorry, as you're talking.
Good. It means you liked it. I lived in this area called Lincoln Square, and there's this, if you haven't been to Chicago, all around Chicago, there are these little restaurants that all have Vienna Beef signs. Vienna Beef is a local hot dog and meat purveyor. And these types of restaurants, like I grew up in central Illinois and then spent some time in St. Louis. These types of restaurants don't exist in these places. And they all have like menus that are like from the 50s where you just like slide the letters on it. And, you know, it says hot dog, hamburger, you know, fries. And, they, you know, there's like five things on the menu. And there are thousands of these restaurants, wouldn't you say, Brent, all over the Chicagoland area?
Every town's got four of them. And it's like the roll versus the meat, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
you know, like
the Taylor ham versus the pork
one
roll.
And love another, and they fight over them and stuff.
The other big thing that they have besides hot dogs are gyros and Italian beefs, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway.
And you might see them outside of there. They call them Chicago-style restaurants
in
a lot of places.
Yeah, you're right. There's one in Lincoln Square called Budaki's. And it's called Budaki's Drive-In.
What?
I know. Budaki's Drive-In. And it's owned by the same people that do this Korean wing place that's in the city that's really well known. It doesn't matter. I'm getting too Chicago-y. But anyway, Budaki's has the best breaded wings, like with just traditional hot sauce that I've ever had. Haven't had them in years. Now I'm going to drive to the city today in the middle of a snowstorm to go get them. So whenever I'm in the mood for breaded wings, like you were saying, that's where I like to frequent.
When you want a nice breading, you go to Budaki's.
But the great part about Budaki's is, like, if you ever in the Lower Fourth and you're near Lincoln Square, go to Budaki's because it's only takeout. I mean, they were set up for the pandemic. They were already only takeout.
So remember, if you're ever traveling to the Lower Fourth and you want to know where to get a good Budaki, you call John.
Call John. That's
he
right.
He knows the
That's
place
right.
to get a good Budaki.
But it's cool because the owners are owners of this Korean wing restaurant. They also have, like, all these different Korean wings, and they have a... like a rice and beef bowl called a soul bowl that's like just really good bulgogi, essentially.
And the girl works counter was the 1998 Bugatti world champion.
He's not going to let it go. But it's just, it's, I love finding random places like that, that it's like, oh yeah, they've got a gyro, Italian beef, Italian sausage, Polish, bulgogi. Wait, what? You know? Anyway, I digress, but, back to chicken feet, Brent. One last thing. I didn't realize this, but I always thought the chicken feet were just an Asian thing. Reading here on Wikipedia, admittedly, many of the countries listed are Asian, and I won't go through all of them, but it's a delicacy in Eastern Europe as well. And in Jamaica, in Jamaica, Jamaican cuisine for chicken feet soup.
Jerk chicken foot.
I could see like a soup if you're not actually eating the feet, because like it's like a bone, right? Exactly. South Africa.
Yeah, it gets a big thumbs down from me, but you know that's.
Yeah, I don't.
Some of the eating is experience for me, and if it's that hard to do,
I agree.
You know,
I was trying to find is there a preparation where I'm thinking that maybe, oh, if it was done like that. And
look under H.
No. What do you mean?
Under preparation H. See what it says.
Oh God. It was so bad I didn't even catch it. Oh, here's an interesting one. Chicken feet crepic, which is it makes it like eating a however they prepare it, it's like eating a cracker.
That sounds fucking terrible. It's like when they eat the embryonic chickens and the eggs and stuff, you know, like, and they eat bone and all. No, I don't want it.
Here,
I don't want it.
Here,
I don't want it, sir.
Look at
no,
this,
thank you.
Look at this picture I'm sending you right now. This is how you do a podcast virtually,
Facebook?
Everybody. Yeah. This is how you do a podcast virtually.
This will be on Hysteria Nation. Along with, I took pictures of my plates and stuff like this. Oh my God.
So like I don't know, like at least it looks crunchy.
It looks like a big plate of pork rinds.
It does. Yeah.
Interesting. I'd try it.
Looking at this and them calling them crackers makes me wonder, okay, were they deboned? Because
they've just been soaked in it's a big plate of lye by now, you know, and it's just I'll soften up and then they flash fry it so it gets I don't know. I don't know. It literally, that picture looked like pork rinds.
Okay, here it is. Another popular way to prepare chicken feet is serving as a simple soup, vegetables, potato. But the deep fried peeled chicken feet, which has been separated from its bones, might be served as a crispy snack treat called crepec.
That I get then.
Okay,
so these
are deboned.
Sense.
Okay, got it. No, that makes sense. Okay, so that's like a pork rind, right?
Right. I would assume so.
And in Indonesia, the soft peeled boneless chicken feet are a popular choice for baby food.
Wow.
Kids will eat anything. Serve steamed rice with boneless chicken feet, mashed liver, and vegetable broth. Man, if I put mashed liver in front of my kid, he would throw it at me.
Which is funny because I love mash. I love, you know, all sorts of liver stuff.
Oh,
you know,
well, you know what? We'll do a future world. We'll do a future one on liver and do liver prepared a few different ways, because there are ways that I love pate, but I can't stand like what my grandpa used to eat, like liver and onions.
Yeah. I don't mind those at all. I don't want the onion with it per se, but and I love onion, but I just like liver. I like it, you know. So
yeah.
All right, I got to get this fucking taste out of my mouth. So,
if he had a nickel,
gelatin. Yeah, it's like I say that every time I leave. What's that restaurant again? Budaki.
Budaki's.
I got to get this taste out of my mouth.
Go to Budaki's, right, guys. They didn't pay for this, but I'm telling you, it's worth it.
It's been chicken feet.
This has been chicken feet.
Skip it. Later.
It was terrible. It was just terrible.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Shine.